You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It is June 25th, 2025. We are here to talk AEW Dynamite. I will be joined momentarily by Alex Palowski to talk a very, very good in-ring AEW Dynamite. A lot of progression, some surprising program set up, some not-so-surprising program set up. Lots of stuff to talk about here. On the AEW post show. As always, leave a thumbs up on this video. I can't begin to tell you guys how important that is to us. Also, drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. And if you want your questions or statements read on the air, well, by God, Super Chats, Humper Chats, that gets it done. Humperchats.com or here on some people would claim that we are AEW's YouTube, here on Fightful's YouTube. Oh man, there's an awful lot to talk about. I want to thank our great moderator, Luis, for helping us out. You can help him out if you speak Spanish by following one of our many Fightful Espanol accounts, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are doing a Penta mask giveaway. Here's a little bit of a spoiler, guys. We're going to do one for Mr. Iguana with the little iguana when it comes out. We're going to do one with the Rey Fénix mask, the Bandido mask when they are back in stock. We're going to be doing a lot of giveaways over there. Also, we encourage you to check out our partner, MyBookie. Use the code FIGHTFUL to make your bets this weekend for Night of Champions. Right now on FightfulSelect.com, we have a wealth of updates on the commentary team for AEW Dynamite, on the MJF Mark Briscoe program, on WWE in Saudi Arabia. We had an update on Vicky Guerrero and WWE today. And by God, I'm going to give you guys a free update right now. We have learned the status of Alex Palowski. He is here and he is on the show. He made it. So both Vicky Guerrero and Alex are back.
Good.
Lisa Reed says, empathy, empathy, empathy. getting that super chat, getting that humper chat in. Alex, there was a lot to like on this episode of Dynamite tonight.
There was. And there was one thing I hated, and as usual, that ruined it for me.
I can't wait to find out what that is over the course of it. But let's go ahead and talk about this show. Again, guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I'll plug it a couple more times throughout the show. The course of the program as we get news. But one of those pieces of news that we're dropping right now, Ian Riccaboni on commentary again. I've had a lot of people say, well, is it just permanent? So the way that it ended up falling was that it worked out, quite frankly, like 3 or 4 straight weeks in a row almost, or 3 out of 4, because I was told that they have him do that when there are double tapings as a way to not have Shivani doing commentary 4 straight hours. And this is something they had done with JR in the past, and they lighten his schedule and stuff up. But a lot more updates on FightfulSelect.com, most accurate, exclusive wrestling news service there is. This gentleman will be over there doing a fun review of sorts this weekend. But I love the way they opened up AEW Dynamite tonight with Mercedes getting the upper hand on Tony.
Yeah.
And some of the heavy criticism, which, I mean, Mercedes is one of the most polarizing performers on the planet. Yep. A lot of that has other implications to it, but because she was eating steak ringside 2 weeks in a row, people acted like, you know, like this wasn't a thing. Like people just didn't do like ringside commentary or
sure
whatever that might be, maybe. But I do think it's good that we're seeing an emotional, serious side of Mercedes here, who is tired of getting one up and embarrassed by Toni Storm. Mm-hmm. She's like, you don't play games, bitch. I got you. I love the way that this played out.
Also, I think that there's something about Toni not giving a damn about all your little belts. I have the only one that matters. That's the only one I care about. And you're not getting it from me. And just that would, I think, would drive Mercedes nuts. Like the idea of, I have all of these belts. Why are you not impressed by me? And Toni says, well, darling, I don't give a damn. Like I feel like that's a really cool part of this. They're not, it's not like, oh, all the belts are on the line. It's like, no, just this one. Just the one that I'm wearing. You can have all of those, but the one that I'm wearing is the big one. And you know it is, and that's why you're coming after it. However, it's around my waist, and that's where it's going to stay. I think that kind of thing would drive Mercedes nuts. And I love that it made her basically break. Like, we don't see this kind of thing from Mercedes. Like, she's been driven to insanity by Toni Storm. I think it's a really cool part of this. We have a few more Dynamites for them to really push this story to where it needs to be for that match to happen. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I loved this progression that we saw tonight. I thought this was just really, really good. And I think it was something that the feud needed a little bit of. And that being said, I've liked the way that the feud has went. But
right.
I think that seeing this serious side of Mercedes was important.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the progression that we saw out of Young Bucks and Ospreay and Swerve, especially right after this. They had a chaotic situation that opened the show, and the Young Bucks still sort of run this show, run the company, so to speak. They are the EVPs. And they're like, yeah, so you know what? You all had a match that was supposed to happen an hour or two. It's now happening right now. Enjoy yourselves. Now, for those not in the know, I thought that Ospreay and Swerve did a phenomenal job of like rushing out there, like taping up their wrists, still with the shirt on, not with the gear, like a lot of that stuff, adjusting everything. You would assume that Young Bucks probably gave Blake Christian and Lee Johnson the head up or heads up on that. But I thought this was really good for those that sort of are in the know and are the very plugged in audiences. You know how important it is to warm up and all that stuff. And I love Taz being like, yeah, sure, it's inconvenient, but you're always supposed to be ready at the beginning of the show. Like you're supposed to be warmed up by the start of the show, no matter what, because anything can happen and your match might get moved up.
Yeah.
I loved this element of things before we get into the actual match, Alex.
I loved it because it's AEW does this so rarely. But over the past 20 years, it has become a thing that you just accept happens several times on Monday and Friday. Of like, not only is that match happening, but that match that starts right now. And nobody is ever flustered by it. They might be like, you know, the heels might be like, hey, wait a minute. But then they're already taped up and ready to go. Like it does, there's never a real consequence. Sometimes you'll see somebody have to wrestle in dress pants or whatever because they were out there in a suit, but that's really rare. I loved Ospreay not only coming down, taping up his wrists and with his boots unlaced, but he came down way into his song as though he was sitting in the locker room and his song started playing. He was like, is this really happening?
Yes.
And he had to run all the way down to the ring from wherever the locker room was. He wasn't waiting in Gorilla. Like, it took him a while to get there.
I like that.
And I really liked that element of it. And I liked that it sometimes when it's like when the heel authority figure is like, your match starts right now. Ha ha. It never really results in anything. But you actually saw like the possible consequences of that here, because Ospreay was needing to lace up his boots and stuff beforehand. I liked that added to the match itself a lot.
Yeah, I thought that went really well. The match itself was really good. Listen, I love Blake Christian. I loathe the walk around the top rope spot. That has been like one move where it's been difficult for me to ever suspend my disbelief. Because I'm like,
well, you understand, Sean, that this guy's arm is twisted like this. And so he's powerless to get away because his arm is twisted like this. So he can't move.
I'm like, roll forward.
Yeah.
For the love of God, roll forward. Mm-hmm. That being said, that's about where the criticisms of Blake Christian's work over the last 3 years for me ends, because I think he might be the most improved overall performer over the last 3 years. And like his GCW work really highlights that as well. Like he's phenomenal. He is incredible. This was a good match. The Young Bucks playing their, normally if interference or somebody pops up,
right,
I'm like, why are you playing their music? Well, we know why they are. They want to distract as much as humanly possible. And I thought that played out really well. Eventually, Swerve Ospreay get the win in a very good match. The chemistry is, it's just so good.
Right.
It remains so good. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on this match?
I liked the match. I think that Ospreay and Swerve are really great together, so much so that like further down the line, if it's not in the cards for either of them to be the world champion for a while, let them have a run with the tag belts. I would like, especially if they're the ones that are going to eventually take it off of Lashley and Shelton. I want to watch that match. Swerve and Ospreay versus Lashley and Shelton could be really good, you know? So I think that they really work well together. And of course, all the stuff that happens afterwards allows to fully impact the rest of the show as well. Really good stuff.
And then we get the challenge, and this is the one that we kind of knew was coming. Fightful Selected reported that this was the plan starting around Double or Nothing. Once they knew that Ospreay was not going to be, and I say they, Tony knew who he was going to go with, but Young Bucks versus Swerve and Ospreay was the plan moving forward after that. And I had been told they're adding a little something to it. Don't worry. Cause I even said to people within AEW,
they're adding a lot of something to it. Yes. They're not adding a little something to it. They're adding a lot of something to it.
I think it was a I'm asking and they under promised type of thing. Yeah. Like they didn't want to tell me what it was, obviously. But I was like, you know, I hope there are some stakes to this because that is a very important thing.
Right.
And the official challenge was laid down and Ospreay says, yeah, well, why don't you put your EVP status on the line? Now, we will gain some clarity on what that means in the coming weeks. If that means that they just simply give it up, or if it means, like, we're talking King of the Ring 99 era where Stone Cold Steve Austin became the owner of WWF, which was actually very fun for a while.
Okay.
What are your thoughts of possible EVP Will Ospreay?
I mean, that honestly could be a lot of fun, especially if he does really fun, like, oh, hello, bruv, I'm in charge here. You're fired. You're hired. Like, he could be a lot of fun.
What you want is talent backstage complaining about the unseasoned catering after that.
That's what you want.
Like,
that's what you want.
Is all this?
Yeah.
What? Like, they should work out a deal with Nando's.
Yeah.
The second week, Nando's takes over and everybody loves him for it.
Yeah. I like this from Ospreay and Swerve that's what they want. What, like, the Bucks have to come back with a but if we win blank, because right now there's zero incentive for them to agree to this. You know what I mean? Like, if we lose, we're no longer the EVPs. What happens if we win? Like, you have to give them something. That's why usually when this happens, you have the baby face making the champ, making the challenge. Like, if we want you at All In, and if you beat us, well, then blank, blank, blankety blank. But if we beat you, then we're the EVPs. So you give them something that they get from you ahead of time, and then you drop the hammer on what we get from you if we beat you. But there was no what you get from us if you beat us. So yes. now it's on the Bucks to come up with a reason, a thing that makes sense. Like, if we beat you, then you're out of the company or something. And then that makes it obvious,
yeah,
good, that Will and Swerve will win, because I just want Will Ospreay. Hello, bruv, I'm in charge. I just need that one for 1 week.
I mean, you could also say neither one of you get to challenge for the world title for the rest of the year.
Sure.
You know, something somewhat realistic. Because if you put it on there forever, well, then you've either got yourself codied or you telegraphed the result. Mm-hmm. Parker Hines says it makes sense for them to not join the casino match if Will and Ospreay are trying to become EVPs. Well, I mean, also, if they feel like they are bettering a company that means everything to them as well. Right. Like, yeah, these stakes generally, I think, add an awful lot to this show in general, which is, you know, an insane looking show right now. It is an unreal looking show that's definitely passing 20,000. And if you can get past 25, that would be good. There is a hurdle later on that I thought would maybe push it past 25. We'll talk about that later on. But I thought that they played this off great. And the Bucks, man, like, listen, I think that this is the type of stuff I wanted to see out of them a year and a half ago. And then they pivoted way more into the Death Riders thing. They brought it in together, and I think it's going to work out very well. So
yeah,
I'll talk about the Moxley element later, but backstage, Young Bucks are like, oh, okay, well, after you made that challenge, you all attacked us, and you also made contact with an official, so therefore you are suspended without pay.
Right.
So I don't know what is, like, how they follow that up. I don't know if that means, like, they're just out of the building this week, if they're suspended next week.
I think it's like they said to Swerve, you are suspended for the rest of the week without pay. So that means that's why Swerve was not among Ospreay when he came out to run off the death.
That makes sense. Okay.
You know? Which is good, because you give people who were like, oh, Swerve didn't come out to help Hangman. What does that mean? Well, now we'll never know if he would have or not, which allows them to push this off until All In to find out whether or not he is part of the 320 run-ins, as you so requested.
Yes, which I can't wait to talk about, because we're going to momentarily. So the Young Bucks have not officially accepted this.
No,
not yet. I think that something has to be done. Again, they have to add stakes, or something has to be, like, maybe some DX 2006 shenanigans, like spray painting their building or something like that, that can do that. So backstage, Okada approaches, and there were a lot of question marks about Okada's status and where he lands, because he has joined the Don Callis family. Mm-hmm. Well, the Don Callis family, without Don Callis, approached, and I thought they did a really good job explaining this as well. You had Okada being like, listen, I'm here to bridge a gap. There is strength in numbers. Here is Rocky Romero. I know that you know him. I know him from Chaos in New Japan. Rocky explained that. Mm-hmm. So in one segment, you got Swerve suspended. You had, okay, so Okada and Bucks are still cool. Okada is smoothing things over for a while with Don Callis family, but Don Callis wasn't there. Young Bucks haven't forgotten that Don Callis is a piece of garbage. And Takeshita and Okada don't like one another. They don't like each other.
You know, this is only temporary. Like, I just thought that was great. And then Okada's response, like, yeah, basically, like, as though your boss would choose you over me. Like, that's my thing, is that I've often said that either Fletcher or Takeshita needs to get sick of Don Callis valuing his new toys over the guys that actually brought Don Callis up. And I think it'd be great if Takeshita, I don't necessarily need him to turn babyface, but just break away from Don Callis and do his own thing. And part of that can be taking out Okada after this whole thing with Omega happens.
Tony Khan is booking Don Callis as Tony Khan in 2022. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's all the new guys. Let's rock with them.
Yeah.
So again, I expect and hope that all these guys get involved in the AEW All In main event. Listen, I love a good, clean wrestling match when it calls for it.
Right.
This is WWE's, this is AEW's, mini bloodline thing. It's just Hangman is the more fleshed out character there. And everybody needs to, all these heels are coming together right now. And you've got Sting and Darby and Danielson and the Ops and Hobbs. Like, everybody's got to get involved. This Ospreay, Swerve, everybody. And you've got the Don Callis family. Mm-hmm. You've got the Elite. You've probably got a random Brandon Cutler running around as well. Sure. Like, you got a lot of people to get involved there. Very, very interested in how that one goes. But
yeah.
We also saw Okada facing off with Kota Ibushi. Kota Ibushi, who has had quite a resurgence physically.
He looks so much better than he did the last time we watched him in AEW.
Well, let me tell you, he went from, quite frankly, having one of the worst matches I have ever seen in my entire life. And he did it against Mara Fuji, which is not easy to do. It is not easy to have a terrible match there, but he has had such an incredible resurgence physically and looked apart. And let me tell you, if you want to have a physical resurgence, if you feel like you have just completely gone 0-10 and you're looking to get back to that main event level, BlueChew.com and the code Fightful has you covered. Man, how could you not, right? How could you not? You'll be doing flips all around your bedroom. Like, maybe you ride in there on a bicycle like Kota Ibushi did in that one match. But let me tell you.
And like Kota Ibushi's kicks, you'll be working stiff.
You will be working stiff. And you won't be riding anything once that thing's going. Somebody else is going to be. This isn't just about performance. It's about legacy. Maybe even third legacy. And that was important. You want to give your special someone's group chat a little something to talk about. You want them quote tweeting you and going, "He's back. He's back." We got a great deal for our listeners. As always, get your first month of Blue Chew free. Just use the promo code Fightful at checkout. Pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Join Blue Chew's mission to upgrade humanity one thrust at a time. Head to BlueChew.com for details and safety info and keep her down for the count. A lot more than a 3 count, though. Let me tell you, buddy. Let me tell you. Discover your options at BlueChew.com with the code Fightful. It's not all about having a problem. Sometimes it's about that performance. And listen, Jules Mack. Thank you, Jules Mack, for very clearly endorsing exactly what we were talking about, saying Ibushi looked great. Hopefully we can see him at All In. The build of this show has been phenomenal. So, Jules Mack, I have mentioned this on the air, and Eloquent says he beat the Wash allegations. Without going too much into detail, I just want to say it is a miracle that Kota Ibushi is able to be in the type of shape he's in, with not just the things that people know that he went through, but a lot more than that as well. And the fact that he's wrestling at all, impressive. The fact that he is returned to, I ain't gonna sit here and say it's like his peak level. It's gonna be hard to ever get back to that peak level at his age, but wrestling at a high level.
Yeah.
And I saw people this week, Alex, with the balls, with the gall to go, why is he facing Trent Beretta? You know, they're bad faith actors when they're saying stuff like that.
Right.
Trent Beretta, who, by the way, listen, his first singles match in over a year as well, had a great performance, but is familiar with the Japan style, is familiar with American TV style, can work with anybody, is reliable, is good in the ring. You know he's going to keep up, no matter, even if he hasn't had a singles match in a while. Mm-hmm. People acting like this was some sort of, like, why would they do that? I don't know. Probably because it makes sense. That's why. And then you set up Ibushi facing one of his stablemates.
Who would they prefer?
I don't know.
Go to Ibushi to face. Like,
I don't know if they wanted him to face Moxley straight out of the gate or what.
Like, he's here to ostensibly get revenge on Okada for what Okada did to his friend Kenny. And Okada is now running with the Don Callis family. And like, did they want him to face Kyle Fletcher? Like, you have him face Trent Barretta because Trent Barretta is a really good worker and Trent Barretta doesn't need to be protected. So you can have Kota Ibushi beat him. And you know the match is going to be good, so you do that. I don't know. I don't know what they wanted him to do. Like, go in there. He's like, I don't know what they wanted him to do.
Really good match here. Great performance. Reese Power says the best Ibushi match in years. Props to Trent. They did wonderfully against each other. Yeah. Wonderfully is the type of thing you want to see. And then you had the Okada Ibushi face off next week, which helps build. Mm-hmm. To Okada versus Omega. Omega's still off selling his injuries, Alex.
They're just throwing Okada versus Ibushi at us just on an episode of Dynamite.
I love it.
I mean, it's on the 300 episode of Dynamite, so I get that it's a major Dynamite. Oh, yeah. However, it is just on a Dynamite when that could be a thing that you could build a pay-per-view around. Especially if Ibushi is this far back, and because this is his first match back, this is not as far back as he's going to be. Yeah. Like, he is back, but I don't know if he is necessarily so back. Maybe he will be so back in a few more months, and at that point, you could build a pay-per-view around it.
Yeah. First time they're going to face each other in 5 years.
Yeah.
Valab says, hope he manages to do a make good match with Noah. I said, if Ibushi is fine, it's okay if Kenny loses at All In now. Let's get the Golden Lovers back. That would help reinvigorate the tag team division.
A lot, yeah.
Pretty well. As far as Noah, I wouldn't count on it anytime soon.
Right.
Because they've got their thing with WWE and Ibushi is under AEW contract. So,
yeah.
Just Ricardo says, give us more women's matches, TK. Hi, SRS and Alex. We will be talking about that a little bit later on, for sure. For sure. And I agree with Reese Power with that. Mm-hmm. Jet Speed defeated AR Fox and Ricochet. Love the setup for this as well. Feature AR Fox more. He is very over right now.
Yeah.
And they had Ricochet approach him backstage and be like, listen, we're so much alike. I know that you're the guy to team up with me and take out these two dorks.
Yeah.
And AR Fox does this. He's like, what? And Ricochet just grabs his hand and he's like, I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah.
He is so great at being the cornball. He's so perfect at it, man.
Yeah.
I love this.
Somebody said on social media, I don't remember who it was, but I saw a screenshot of it that, basically, Ricochet did the girl at the bar who comes up to you and says, my ex is here. Just go with it. And then she sits in your lap and like to make the ex jealous. That's basically what this was. I think that this is excellent. Although now at this point, I'm fairly certain Ricochet is never getting a crew together. It's just about him asking like, oh, this guy might be a good crew. And then later he sees that guy fail him in a match. He's at ringside. No, that guy's not part of it. He's going to work through everybody before he actually ends up doing it. I mean, I was really excited for him to be at ringside for the Gates of Agony match on Collision, but turns out that didn't work out. So figure out somebody to be his backup because I think it really works for him. Ricochet is doing amazing work. This is the kind of guy that they're keeping in a prominent position while he's nowhere near a title right now, but could easily be shifted into a title picture at any point. Like if Kenny Omega is a guy comes away with the new unified title, then like Ricochet being the guy to face Kenny Omega for that in the fall, I wouldn't say no to that. That could be a lot of fun.
Man, so also, as I pull, sorry, I had to follow my notes back up. Great in-ring match. You knew it was going to be a great in-ring match. I've watched wrestling a long time. I've never seen somebody with better kicks than Speedball. Like, they are accurate. They're safe. Mm-hmm. The technique is beautiful.
Right.
Ricochet leaves AR Fox, so you've got that match to do now.
Yeah, you can do that. Sure.
You've got that. Jet Speed wins, but they make the challenge afterwards. And honestly, I love that match for All In, because you've got two big sirloin beef sons of bitches that can base for Kevin Knight and Speedball. Too many Sonics reference in this whole promo. It worked. Mm-hmm. It worked the first time, but if you bring it up a second time, but I love Jet Speed versus Hurt Syndicate. They've got three wins in a row in the tag team division.
Yeah.
As deserving as anybody at this stage.
Makes them special.
Yeah, makes them special. And then they got laid to out by Hurt Syndicate. Before we talk about the MJF element of it, how'd you feel about all this and the program we're going into for All In?
I think it's a pay-per-view program. I don't know if it's the All In program I would want.
What would you prefer?
I don't think there's an alternative right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have built somebody in the tag division proper in the course of several months to be here. I think the match is going to be very, very good. And I really like Kevin Knight and Speedball Mike Bailey, but I don't see them as the team that beats the Hurt Business. And at All In, I should go in there going, this is a 50-50 shot. I honestly don't know who's going to win this. At All In, I want it to feel like there's the potential on almost every title that I don't know who's going to win it. And for me, that I don't see that in Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey, just what I think they would do with them. And I'm probably completely wrong about it, but I really like them. It just doesn't feel particularly, maybe it's because I just watched them get the absolute tuffer beaten out of them.
Yeah.
So they don't seem at all like they
just had a match. They just had a match.
I understand that, but like they were waxed. So I look at that and just perception is reality. I don't perceive them as a threat with their both laying on top of each other on a table. The next few weeks of Dynamite hopefully will go a long way to making me believe this is the best thing they could do for the tag division at All In. But I will say this, and this is something I'm really struggling with. I really don't like the Hurt Syndicate basically just being Max's backup dancers, because that's what they feel like to me.
I don't think
like, so. I mean, that's what like it, he's so they wax everybody. They beat him up. They got the titles. They look great. And then MVP says, here's the real guy you came to see. And MJF talks and they stand there silent behind him. Like I was really excited to see the Hurt Business all back together. And we can't do that because now Cedric is over in TNA. So that's, I don't get to see.
I don't know if there's a contract yet, though.
For the time being, he's over there and I don't get that, which is what I wanted at this point. And MJF, I still don't see what the Hurt Syndicate gets from having Max be a part of their group. He's not actively figuring out ways of helping them win the matches. Maybe he does that, this thing with Kevin Knight and
I think he's using them.
He is using them. And we can all see it. So my point is, why don't Bobby Lashley and Shelton see it and stop that from happening?
They did.
MVP. When?
I think they did. That's why they rejected him for so long.
But then
they got talked into it.
Yeah, but they... But them being talked into it, to me, makes them feel gullible. And I don't feel like Shelton and Bobby Lashley should be seen as being gullible, because it's so obvious to me that MJF is using them. I wanted them to be used in a different way than they are right now. And that, to me, to have then MJF cut his promo about how much Washington State sucks and all that stuff, and then he's interrupted by Mark Briscoe. This promo was not for me. I know everybody liked the kosher pickle line. I just think it's low-hanging fruit no matter who uses it. So, like, it's fine, whatever. But I didn't understand.
Is pickle fruit?
I mean, the cucumber does have seeds. So if he has seeds, is it a fruit? Because a pickle is pickle.
Yeah, it is low-hanging fruit. Well, the thing is, if it wouldn't be low-hanging.
Right, it would be high-hanging, actually. It would not be well-hung fruit.
See, I don't like it for the confusion that this is provided in its own.
Yeah, now we have to have a debate about whether or not it's a fruit, if it's hanging low, if it's hanging high, all that stuff. My thing is, Briscoe reintroduced Kota Ibushi, and also he gets to have the one-on-one promo battle with MJF. Like, he's in everything. What is his program right now? What is his thing that he is doing?
I'll give you a FightfulSelect.com exclusive. And again, I encourage you guys, please subscribe and support original coverage. This is like a...
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Dream program for MJF. Like, it's a program he's pushed for a very, very long time. I think what will happen is a lot of people will expect him to go for the low-hanging fruit, being Jay Briscoe. And I think that he probably won't. I'd like to think that he wouldn't. And I would even like to see down the line, Mark Briscoe be like, I know what you're going to say. You're going to bring up my brother. And he'd be like, no. I respected your brother.
Right.
Your brother is one of my favorites of all time. I would never disrespect your brother. Sure. Like something like that. And the reason he dislikes Mark is because he says that he disrespects the legacy or something of that sort. I don't care much for the kosher pickle line. It's a good headline for us. Alicia Atoot tweeted about it. So clearly we're going to write about it. We are the absolute leader in penis related stories in pro wrestling, bar none. There is none better, but, why does MJF need to qualify for the casino gauntlet? He says he's got a qualifier next week.
They didn't say who he's facing?
No. Why does he need to qualify? Like, if it were, he's number two.
Right.
Sure. Because the one and two spot matter just as much to one another.
Exactly. They're an equal spot.
They're equal spot. That's like when they say, well, Rey Mysterio didn't win the Rumble from the one spot. Oh, okay, bud. All right.
All the four guys who were in who gets the number one spot match. All the four guys who were in that, I'm assuming all of them are in the
Carson. Why is somebody saying MJF is barely wrestling? He's a former world champion in a casino gauntlet.
Right. if MJF needs to qualify, then you would have to tell me who else needs to qualify.
Yeah.
Because yes. he's the only one. If the idea is that the only guy who is qualified to be in the match at all after tonight is Mark Briscoe, and everybody else has to qualify in some way, well, you got a lot of qualifying matches to do over the next few weeks. But I don't think that's the case. My thing is, I don't know who he faces next week. I don't know if Mystico ruins that match for MJF, so he has to face Mystico at All In, or if Mark Briscoe ruins that match because that's building their program. I don't know. I don't know if MJF's even in the qualifier, even in the Casino Gauntlet match at all. This just feels like we're just going to have to wait until next week and see what happens. But if they announced who his opponent was, I would be less confused. But we don't know who his opponent is.
Empathy chance, as Lisa Reed points out, Tom LaValle says only in AEW. Yes. Love those fans. I am excited for an MJF Mark Briscoe program, because what they have done, and we saw it, we're going to talk about it momentarily. Mm-hmm. They've had him win quite a bit lately.
Right.
And for a guy that has been overexposed as much as Mark Briscoe has been, like, it is, I think, good that he's picking up these very, very big wins. Mm-hmm. But the big question is, Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says, no MJF versus Mystico. Also, women's matches. Ugh. The reason why I pushed so hard for the Mystico match, mm-hmm. I don't know if especially some of our audience realize how much of a ticket mover that would be. We're talking that Mystico wrestling is a ticket mover. Mystico wrestling MJF is over 1,000 tickets moved itself.
Mystico wrestling in Texas, I mean, I think 1,000 is selling it short, because there are a bunch of people who would buy tickets in Texas for only that match. That's the one because they don't get to go. They don't get to go back to Mexico City to see him wrestle. They would get to see him in Texas. Like, there are a bunch of people who would drive hours to go see a Mystico match, especially him getting righteous revenge on MJF, the Uber heel. You know, like, his 20-year anniversary show sold out in minutes. Like, you got to do it, you know?
And you need to put some Lucha women on the gauntlet as well.
Yes, yes.
Like, you really do. I wonder if at some point, I understand it could be making it convoluted. I think that one day they need to abruptly announce a Casino Gauntlet. Like, tonight, a Casino Gauntlet. And then it ends immediately.
Right.
Then they can institute the rule. Mm-hmm. Well, at least 5 entrants have to be in or something like that. And then it allows.
It would be really funny if they did that. And like, the first guy in there was, I don't know, just a random draw. I don't know who it would be in this particular case, Brandon Cutler. And number 2 is Will Hobbs. Spinebuster, 1, 2, 3. And Will Hobbs wins the gauntlet match and he gets his title shot. You know, we'll see what happens there. But like, it's something like that, and that would be the reason, because if it's a random draw, well, that's we'll never know. But if you do run a gauntlet match where it could end at any time, we have a never ending string of people. The line goes around the building for who wants to be in this match, and then it you got to end it really soon. Otherwise, winning the number one spot doesn't really accomplish anything. Unless somebody from the one spot wins it in the first 5 minutes. Now, I don't want that for an All-In match, but it would be great if they did it on a Dynamite where you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, I think that you need to get Mystico on this show. I really do. I really do. Scorpio joins Ricochet, says Terry Allen Jr. They need to do something with that man.
That would honestly be a really good idea. I'd like that a lot. It's a lot better for Scorpio than doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very frustrating to just see how that goes. But and Luis thinks that the only reason there's a qualifier is for Mystico to cost MJF the qualifier. I hope, because that is a major match.
For sure.
And if you can do MJF versus Mystico and have a Casino Gauntlet, The Casino Gauntlet isn't going to be sold anymore because MJF is on it. You know what I mean? The custodian, Lexus King, says Mystico would be a big draw, but some people might be a little scared to go. Listen, I ain't touching that one. People raked me over the coals all week. All week, man. All week over it. But we did have Mark Briscoe winning the four-way gauntlet match. You knew it was going to be a humper. You knew it was going to be a humper. And listen, ensuring that Bandido is on this show, very good, same vein, promoting Lucha Libre. My God, man. This match was unbelievably good. Every time I hear the Paragons theme, I'm like, hell, that's a slapper, of course. But were you shocked that Mark Briscoe got this win? I think what will happen is Mark Briscoe goes the duration of whatever this is, and he's the one that takes the pin against MJF if MJF enters.
I hope that's not the case, because I think that MJF versus Mystico should be the match in. But if it's not, then that's probably the place that happens. MJF winning the Casino Gauntlet, pinning Mark Briscoe, MJF being the first guy to face, let's hope, Hangman Page as the new world champion of AEW. They've been doing a lot of stuff, keeping that fresh in our minds that MJF and Hangman Page still do not like each other. Like, that's very clean. It makes a lot of sense. Like, I would not hate that at all. I just think that it's a much better use of MJF for that Mystico match. You're right. Briscoe going the distance, MJF coming in last. Like, he comes in and he immediately pins him. Like, he gets in like a minute of work and just, I don't know who hits a crazy big shot on Briscoe, and MJF comes in, shit cans that guy and pins Mark Briscoe. It's like light work. Like, that would be that's a very MJF thing to do.
So let's talk about the attendance for this show. It's going to easily pass 20,000. AEW is a strong walk up. I just like good crowds that make noise, cool environment, stuff like that. I have never traditionally been a ratings or numbers guy unless they're good or they're so bad that you got to go, oh no, what's happening?
Right.
Like, the real pro wrestling numbers right now, real American pro wrestling, that's scary. Mm-hmm. When nobody's showing up for some TNA tapings years and years ago, to the point where they had to cancel them, those were concerning.
Yeah.
But 6 years ago, me and John Alba we had inside jokes because fans would send us things of tarped off Raw things, and they're like, oh my God, it's over. No, it's ridiculous. Come on now.
Yeah.
We are about to see a show do between 20 and 25,000. And there are going to be a lot of people who talk themselves in circles trying to convince themselves it isn't good because it isn't as much as they did the year before or the year before that.
Right.
One of which was the all-time attendance record for pro wrestling.
Sure.
It's going to pass every WCW US event ever.
Yeah.
On pay-per-view. There are some TV things that it passed. It's going to pass every US, or I think North American, AEW event ever. Mm-hmm. It's already more than TNA has ever sold, ever. ECW never approached that.
Right.
It's objectively going to be good. Would it be better if it was 25, 30, 35? Of course it would be. But there are going to be people that talk themselves into circles when 7 years ago, Alex, the active bet was, I don't think that ROH could do 10,000.
Yeah.
I encourage people.
Yeah.
Don't give that stuff breath in bad faith. The same way I see people saying that even about WWE. And I'm like, guys, I just went to Rupp Arena and they sold 4,000 more tickets for SmackDown this past couple weeks than when Jey Uso turned on Roman Reigns in the Bloodline. Like, the heat of that. Like,
yeah.
Wrestling's very healthy right now, fellas.
Right.
Oh, Adam Cole issues an open challenge. It will be answered tomorrow by Josh Alexander. That's a fantastic match. That's really good match. I don't have a lot of care for the TNT title these days, though.
No, I think they need to do better at heating it up, because I think Adam Cole versus Kyle Fletcher should be if this is to fully crown Kyle Fletcher as with his first AEW singles title. I know he was the ROH TV champion for a while, but his AEW singles championship, if this is what does that, then this should have more fanfare behind it. He's one of your top future guys. There's a very good chance we're talking about Kyle Fletcher in 2 to 3 years in the same hushed tones with which we're describing Will Ospreay right now. That's how good this guy is and how good he can continue to become. So this should be a major thing. And I don't feel like they're putting as much behind it right now as maybe they could. Also, part of this is Roddy Strong, Kyle O'Reilly also getting bangers against all of Kyle Fletcher's cohorts. We're getting a Kyle Fletcher versus Kyle O'Reilly match on Collision tomorrow, which should be a lot of fun, a total slapper. Like, this is good stuff. We should be, the TNT title feels like it's so far down the totem pole. But you have guys that Adam Cole was actively being built. He was in the main event of All In with the giant thing. Like, he was actively being built to be the world champion a couple of years ago. Yeah, like, he hurt himself, and you can figure out a way to put a little bit more force behind that push for this mid-card title right now. But I do think that match is going to be very, very good when they have it again.
Also set for next week, Mina Shirakawa, who made the save earlier, against Mercedes for the TBS title. Yeah. I do not foresee Mercedes dropping the TBS title on 300.
I do not either. I don't. Unless Tony costs her. Because Tony was doing, there was a backstage little social media exclusive where she was hunting for Mercedes, and she was, you want to play games with me, Mercedes? Like, that's a possibility, because it would help out her buddy, Rena, and it would also make Mercedes even crazier. And Mercedes then beating Toni Storm and becoming the women's world champion, you don't have to do double champ Mercedes. Does she vacate one or not?
Yes.
You have Mina as the TBS champion. Like, it's possible. I'm not saying
I think it throws doubt into the result as well. Yeah, like, it makes people go, oh, well, they're clearly putting a belt on Mercedes.
Like, there's a lot. I'm not saying I expect them to do it. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm saying it might work depending on how they followed up with it.
Love for Boost says, Blue Chew code Fightful to become a great base like Beast Mortos is for Mercedes. Number one entrant in the women's gauntlet for All In, Chris Statlander ends up winning. I do not like the interference crutch in four ways.
No.
This one has at least built towards, you know, more of Marina Shafir and Willow Nightingale. She ends up, Willow, that is, ends up pouncing Wheeler Yuta. But the main takeaway I had from this match is, one, Athena should be on AEW TV more often. Glad that she has been the last couple weeks.
Yes.
I think that she would probably prefer being on AEW TV to being ROH champion at this point. A couple other takeaways. Athena versus Thunder Rosa should just be on All In. There shouldn't even be an ROH pay-per-view. Don't need it. And they don't need to be in the gauntlet as well. To me, adding Thunder Rosa and Athena and MJF and Místico to your card, as opposed to putting them in the gauntlet, adds a lot to your card. To me, I think it makes it an all-time loaded card.
I fully agree. That's the thing, that they should just make sure those matches are on the card, and that those become really big time matches. We have been watching a lot of interference in four way matches in wrestling over the past month or so. So the problem is with those is that I don't think most of those required it in any way. This one, if you don't see it all the time, an interference in a fatal four-way where, you know, I'm sorry, there's no disqualification. This is just the way it works. Like, if it is for the right story, like this one, it could really work. Like, this whole thing of, like, in order to prove to you, Statlander, that you need to trust us, we are on your side, don't think that you can win Willow's heart back. You need to come and be on our side and then help us destroy Willow as part of this whole gang wars element of the world championship match. And to do that, we're going to have Wheeler Yuta distract Willow so that you can win the gauntlet. Number one, the qualifier, the number one spot match. Maybe she ends up winning the gauntlet. Like that, there's this thing of like what can happen here. I really hope that this is leading to all the bad guys assuming Stat is on their side. And they expect her to take out Willow during the giant shenanigans that happens during the Hangman and Moxley match. And she just can't bring herself to do it. Like, and because she doesn't, that allows Willow to take out Marina, which allows this to happen. It's a whole domino effect. I'm not even saying that she should, like attack Marina for sure. Willow. But just that she won't do it. And that could be a really cool stuff. Because I don't know how many days we got left until it's possible that Shayna Baszler can show up in AEW. But sure. Shayna and Marina Shafir versus
it'll be after
Willow,
all in. Yeah.
Will versus Willow and Chris Statlander it's as the shit. First major feud of the impending women's tag team titles we're supposed to get. Like,
well, I'm going to say supposed to get, they have had those made for a very long time, maybe longer than even reported.
That's the thing is they made them. I think we're going to get them eventually. So sure. When we do, that being the first major marquee feud for those titles is a perfect storyline, especially if it starts with Marina thinking she has Stat on her side, but Stat can't bring herself to take out Willow and they eventually make up. I think that would be great.
I'll tell you what also is great, NordVPN.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
You are really missing out if you don't check that out. They also have a tier where they will send you an Amazon gift card after a certain period. Check it out. NordVPN.com/Fightful. This weekend's WWE Night of Champions show. You can just watch it on your Netflix account by changing your virtual location. Get in on that. Matthew Hook says, for All In, do we get Bane and Ford versus TyJ versus others? If it's for a title, if it's to crown the champion, I'm okay with that.
I think it'd be really kind of cool if they started the women's tag team tournament on the 0 hour of All In. And you could get okay. TyJ versus Megan Bain and Penelope Ford in a first round match. Like, announce, we're going to have a tournament. Mm-hmm. And you just have, here are the first matches that are going to be in it. And you start that on the 0 hour. That'd be a really cool thing to drum up some buzz or whatever. But I think you could easily get, for whatever reason, you could easily get some more women on that. Although that Casino Gauntlet, women's gauntlet match, I don't want that to be the one that has 5 people in it. Like, let's get as many women as possible who are in that, who are available. Megan Bain and Penelope and Ty J should all be in the gauntlet match if the gauntlet match is going to go 12, 15 deep.
We had the main event, Adam Hangman Page defeating the Beast Mortos. Been a big week for him. Back at Arena Mexico, making that happen. Adam Hangman Page wins. A lot of what happened the last like 3 weeks felt very important, and that's not easy to do with the amount of programming they had. Yeah. Tom says, I know Roosh can act a little Rooshy at times. It'd be amazing to see him and Mortos get a push soon. Also, shout out to the new New York mayor. Yes, indeed. But also, I think that Roosh and Mortos as a legit tag team in the tag team division is a way to help build it back up. They have just got to do more stories. Now, we did see earlier FTR Outrunners doing their thing, FightfulSelect.com. I'm telling you guys, it's $5.99 a month. Mm-hmm. We followed up about this Cope and Christian thing. Mm-hmm. Christian's been kind of shuffling his feet. And I saw a lot of people that agreed with him. They're like, well, he doesn't want to rush the – he wants to flesh out the Nick Wayne thing. But a lot of people in AEW are like, you should have been doing that a long time ago. Like, this should have been ready by now. From what I understand, Cope was supposed to be back. Maybe Double or Nothing is what FightfulSelect.com reported.
Wow.
So there is that.
I do think, like, anchoring All Out around Christian and Edge back together again versus FTR
sure.
could be a really good thing for that. All In was going to sell a whole bunch of tickets anyway. You know what I mean? Like, All Out could be a major thing because
that could also be another potential four figure ticket mover, though.
Yeah.
And All Out is already sitting at 8,000 sold. They're getting that sold out on walk up alone. Yeah. They'll have to open up more seats, is what they'll have to do.
True. I get you.
But I do like FTR also passed up. The Outrunners were super over last year. And FTR very much passed up the, I can't believe they chose a fucking meme team over us heel turn to help this one. So I know that was digressing from the main event, but the main event was more about the post-match than the match. Chris says, at All In, even if Hangman wins, Swerve should start down the ramp, not be able to bring himself to help Hangman. They took things to the point that hatred should supersede everything, even when they don't want it to. Where do you stand on that? Do you think that he should help or he should avoid helping?
I think
it's got to be everybody coming together.
I think he needs to help, but not be a part of the celebration.
Sure. I think a nod from the
I think
is enough.
I think him helping to take out the Death Riders or whatever, him doing his thing, maybe he does a swerve stomp from the top rope to the outside or whatever is the deal that happens. And then everybody else is around and they hoist up Hangman on their shoulders in the ring after he wins. And at the top of the ramp is
a Luger moment.
And just sits there. And more to himself than he is to Hangman. He just does a little.
And he walks away. I think that should be the thing. I think while everybody is in the ring going full Luger 97 on the shoulders, you see I think Hangman has to see Swerve help. Well, he also needs to see Swerve help him.
Help him. Yeah.
He has to be cognizant. And then while everybody else isn't paying attention, you see Hangman paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
He looks up. Nod, and I'm getting chills.
Yeah.
Dan Jaswell says, is it me or should Dark Order be involved in the finish of Hangman Mox? Yes, I think they should.
I think it'd be really cute.
I think it should be like even if it's 3-on-1, like legitimately, there should be more baby faces than heels here. It shouldn't be an even number. You need Darby, you need Sting, you need Danielson. Where's Hook, Samoa Joe, Shibata, Hobbs, Kenny Omega, Swerve, Ospreay, Dark Order.
We still don't know what the hell's going on with Hook. because he came back at Double or Nothing and hit Claudio with a golf club, and then Samoa Joe was like, "Hey, you're back," and so, and Hook was like, "No, I'm not," and he left, and we still haven't seen anything about that since.
Yeah, and even like, listen, even if Eddie Kingston can't wrestle, just his presence would be nice. But like, you should legitimately see way more baby faces than heels. Like, that should be a thing, is that the baby faces finally outsmart the heels. Like, it should be three of the Dark Order guys keeping one, even if Pac can't wrestle. Pac rolling up and being like, here I am. And they're like, no, you're not, buddy.
I love the idea of Claudio taking out five mid-card baby faces by himself. And then stepping up from behind the barricade is Eddie Kingston. And Claudio turns around, back fist, knocks out Claudio, and Eddie Kingston leaves. Like, just get that started, like, you know?
Get these guys, like, even Pac, who is injured, like, get his face on the screen. Like, there's Pac, and they're screaming, oh, my God, there he is. No, there's three, four Dark Order members around him.
Yeah.
And they just they abduct him 2019 style.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of him.
Yeah.
Tom LaValle jokes. Mercedes Nash using her stroke to get her man main eventing. End of July, we'll see Mortos give a finger poke of doom to Moxley. I can hope. But Chris, thank you for sending this, because this led us to a good 10-minute discussion there.
Yeah.
Pat says, do you think the gauntlet matches will be like Rumble 97, except CM? I'll get to that momentarily. Basically, you fellers want Swerve to pull an Owen Hart situation at the end of Mania 10. That was more in jealousy. I want this one to be in respect more than anything.
Yeah, he hates himself for the because he respects Hangman a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then just Ricardo has a good one. He says Eddie runs down with a gas can. Actually, Eddie just shows up with a gas can.
Yeah.
And then Claudio runs.
Yeah.
Like, he just leaves.
Because
Jack Perry sees the gas can and
runs. Okay. Yeah, he runs. But like, he's Claudio, like, Claudio running off, and then it's just because, you know, Eddie's still got the knee thing. Him just doing a Michael Myers where he just walks after him.
Yes.
And then cut to Claudio sprinting down a hallway. But somehow Eddie Kingston is gaining on him.
I just love the idea of Jack Perry seeing a gas can and being like, not this shit again.
Yeah, no,
not this again.
I'm out. He gets back in his bus and drives away.
Matt and Nick tweeted RIP Hung Bucks after the finish tonight. As
they took out Adam Page. Yep.
Now, Pat says, do you think the gauntlet matches will be like Rumble 97, except CMLL instead of AAA? So for those that you don't remember, for those that don't remember this, WWE, in an effort to move a lot of tickets for Royal Rumble 97, which, again, another one that people pretended was like some big tragedy that it.
Yeah.
Because it was the Alamo Dome. They were trying to fill up the Alamo Dome based on Shawn Michaels. They got like 60,000 in there. People were like, yeah, but they papered it. Who cares? They put like all, I remember it was like P-Roth, Cibernetico, Mil Máscaras was in that match. Latin Lover was in that match. But I remember Mil Máscaras wouldn't allow anybody to eliminate him, so he eliminated himself. Which is a rib on the Bruce Pritchard show where he would say, no yob. I do think they need to add some lucha talent to these as well. And Cibernetico said that he feels like Mil Máscaras brothered his way out of the Rumble. He did. That's what happened. He did happen. But I look forward to that. Guys, I know I've promoted it a lot. FightfulSelect.com. I can't tell you how important that is. Support original creators. Alex has a show there this weekend. I've got a Q&A every week. Our select answers runs every day now. Every single day, I've got a Q&A article. I do a Q&A every week, as mentioned. We've got at least one exclusive wrestling news story every single day. The highest accuracy percentage anywhere. We've been running more than like two or three. But we also have a free tier. So if you don't want to pay any money, you can still get that free tier. Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
This weekend, is our semi-annual sans
just
blind
one this year
show. Just one this year. So what we do is that I don't watch the Saudi shows, and I force Kate to, and she watches them, and then she tells me about them, and I have to guess if she's lying to me or not. And it's our most popular show. It's our most popular thing that we do, and everybody loves it. And we're doing it on Saturday. It won't be directly after the show. It's going to be later in the evening. My folks are visiting, so we'll do it at some point on Saturday evening. So that
y'all watching Freddy Got Fingered together?
No, no, we're not doing that. It's my dad's birthday. I'm not going to subject him to that. So
what a great gift. He gets the gift of art.
No. Then over on Monday night, we'll do a review of that, on behind me and Kate do that too. And on Tuesday on this very YouTube channel, we review, NXT as well. So it should be a lot of fun.
Guys, we have a bunch of stuff on our YouTube for free for you all to watch. I interviewed Abyss. It was pretty wild how that came together because I just got really nostalgic about him, and at like 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday, I hit up WWE and said, any chance I could interview him to promote this game? And they said, yeah, you free at 1:15. And I said, no, but I will be.
I will
if
be.
That's what you're telling me. I will
I'll make myself free. There you go.
He is such a gentleman. He confirmed his in-ring retirement in that interview. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow we have the notorious Hollywood Haley J, who is now at Reality of Wrestling. She was a star on Netflix's The Wrestlers. And I'll give you guys a little behind the scenes of a conversation I had with Matt Jones, who bought OVW at one point. He said, man, I had a meeting with her and it's like, why don't you be yourself? What is Hollywood? And he said, well, within about 2 weeks, I realized that she was being herself. And you'll have to watch the interview to see what I mean by that. I had Joe Hendry this week. He talked about Mr. Iguana, WrestleMania, Chael Sonnen of all things. And we have a new Fightful Presents video. If you all haven't checked this out, go look at our playlist of Fightful Presents. This one has a look at the Public Enemy run in WWF and what went wrong, what went right, all that stuff. Some previous episodes that we've had, a wrestling game with no ring. We've had Sonny Siaki's. Like crazy finish to his wrestling career. The most embarrassing event in wrestling history. When TNA tried to face WWE in the Monday Night Wars, a history of tribute to the troops, a New Japan exodus to WWE in 2016, and one that I did, a timeline of CM Punk leaving and returning to WWE. Please check that out, guys. I want to say thank you to all of you all. Follow Fightful Espanol. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram. We are out.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.